The Lord be with you.
And with
you. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus journeyed to a city called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd accompanied him. As he drew near to the gate of the city, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. A large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he was moved with pity for her and said to her, "Do not weep." He stepped forward and touched the coffin. At this, the bearers halted. And he said, "Young man, I tell you, arise." The dead man sat up and began to speak. And Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, exclaiming, "A great prophet has arisen in our midst, and God has visited his people." This report about him spread through the whole of Judea and in all the surrounding region. The Gospel of the Lord. You heard in the opening prayer in the Mass that we would experience the working of God's mercy. The working of God's mercy. We want to experience God's mercy. We have to try to be merciful. It's a two-way street. The Diary of St. Faustina mentions three ways in which we can practice mercy. And every day we should try to live out mercy, at least one act of mercy. That can be done through prayer. We say a prayer for anyone. By words, by learning to say kind words. If you say kind words, that's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit working in your heart. And kind deeds. If you don't know what kind deeds that you can do, look at those corporate works of mercy, those stained glass windows, the circle with stained glass windows, if you want the spiritual works of mercy. If that doesn't appeal to you, if you're more a reader than a contemplative, Matthew chapter 25. I was hungry, thirsty. Okay, so there's my two-minute reflection on the opening prayer. First reading. Anyone who reads that first reading, honestly, is going to speak to you. St. Paul is using an analogy. He's comparing us to a human body. Human body has the head, the arms, the fingers, the feet. And he mentions a whole different variety of ministries within the church. He gives about six or seven. Evangelist, teacher, preacher, healer, administrator. There's about six or seven. But that's not all exhaustive. If you're coming to daily Mass, you should be involved in some type of ministry in the church. Okay, I'll repeat. If you're coming to daily Mass, and most of you are, you even take your same places in the church, I notice, usually when you come to Mass, I'm pretty observant, no? You should ask, do not ask what your church can do for you, ask what you can do for your church. You all should find some type of ministry. It might be the prayer ministry. You're going to be promoting all-night adoration, or maybe get involved in catechesis, or maybe getting involved with the young people, maybe getting involved in the spiritual exercise. There's so many different ministries in this church. But this is what I notice. You arrive at a certain point where you're just receiving always from the priests that are giving. We're giving you, giving you, giving you. You have to arrive at a point where you got to give something too. Okay? You know, you have to be like a sponge. You have to receive, and the sponge, you wring it out. That's my pastoral observation after being a priest for more than 30 years. So I have some experience, no? So once you start to get more involved, then you're going to start to grow. So take that seriously. Ask the Holy Spirit what type of apostolate or ministry God is calling you to do. If we had time or place, I could almost, with a drop of the hat, I could create new ministries. So that's one of the gifts that I have. And it's a question of finding the time, the place, and the way to launch it. But ask yourself. Do not ask what your church can do for you, what you can do for your church. And by means of that, you're going to start to grow more. Okay, one other idea. When one member in the body is hurting, the whole body hurts. Right? For example, if you get up this morning, you stub your toe. I mean, you're hurting the whole day. Okay? Or if you have a toothache, and tooth is very small, you know, you're hurting. You're hurting the whole day because you get that little tooth that is bothering you. Or you got a headache. So when one part of the body suffers, the whole body suffers. Now, I was thinking about this. There's many, many analogies you can use. If we have a choir of 10 members, 9 are professional, but once one is singing poorly, ruins the whole choir. Right, Andy? It really does. If you got 9 that are Pavarotti, or they're just professional, but one is sinning, just that's what you hear more than the other 9, right? Or if you like a baseball analogy, say for example, it's 5-5 in the bottom of the 9th inning. Okay? A baseball. Okay, the Angels are playing the Yankees. Okay? 5-5 in the bottom of the 9th inning. And they're playing here in Anaheim. Mike Trout gets up and he hits a home run. Mike Trout is a very good baseball player. He's from New Jersey, okay, where I'm from. Okay? See, he hits a home run. Who wins? Mike Trout or the Angels? It's the Angels. But it was Mike Trout that hit the home run. So your growth in holiness lifts up the whole church. Saint Therese said that. Saint Therese of Lisieux said, when you do something good, you lift up the whole church. When you do something bad, you bring the whole church down. So we're all in this together. You can use millions of analogies. Take a platoon of soldiers fighting in the war. One goes AWOL, where he runs away, the other going to suffer. Or a CEO of a company. My younger brother is the CEO of a very successful company, and there was one member that was not doing his work, and my brother gave him 3 chances. Then he kicked him out. He got really angry at my brother, no? He had to kick him out. Otherwise, that's going to be dragging down the efficacy of that company. Now, you can apply this to the church. Okay, the gospel today. Okay, there are three times you have in the gospels where Jesus does one of his greatest miracles. My humble opinion is I think the greatest miracles is when he's rising someone that's died. That's huge. Someone with a withered hand, okay, that's great. The blood flow, fine. But Jesus raising someone from the dead, that happened three times. Do you remember the three times? Okay, Lazarus, chapter 11 of John. Okay, the little girl whose father's name was Jairus, 12-year-old girl. And this one today is usually not as well known, even though it should be. Were you listening? You didn't check out when I was reading the gospel, did you? Okay, there's a lot of deep, there's a lot of depth in this if you meditate upon it. It's a widow. She's lost her husband. Now she's lost her only son. And she is just devastated. Who did that happen to? Was Mary a widow? Did she lose her only son? Do you think Jesus was thinking about that? I think so. So he saw in that widow his own mother, and he knew that was going to happen to her. He knew her great sorrow. So from that, it's just incredible compassion. I mean, Jesus is moved to tears to see this woman. She's lost everything. He draws close to the coffin. There's a funeral procession. He stops it. And just like that, son, get up. And the guy gets out of the coffin, and he's given to the mother. What an incredible miracle. Incredible. Okay, St. Augustine says this. What's a greater miracle? Raising someone from the dead or someone going from mortal sin to the state of grace? St. Augustine says yes. So moving from the spiritual death, which is mortal sin, to the state of grace is much greater than raising someone from the dead. So if you can pray for someone, offer sacrifice for someone, and bring that person from being away from the church, back to the church, that's a greater miracle than raising someone from the dead. I'm listening to a book by Bishop Robert Barron, Go Set All on Fire. And he says the greatest apostolic work we can do, greatest ministry apostolic work we can do, bring someone back to church. What is the biggest religious group in the United States? Non-practicing Catholics. That's the biggest religious group in this country. Millions and millions and millions of Catholics that are walking away, and because of scandal, even more. Okay? So see if you can pray and invite someone to come back to church. Make a good confession. And that person is going from death to life. Amen.